Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Sad news in the NFL and that Tony Soprano suddenly passed away at the age of 56.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Adrian Amos has played in 44 NFL games. He has started 40 of them. Anybody got a guess as to how many fumbles he's forced in 40 NFL starts? Three.
Three?
Yeah. He's forced three fumbles in his career. He's recovered two fumbles.
Well,
I need more. I need much more than that.
Why don't you get the fuck out of here before I shove your quotations book up your fat fucking ass?
Another guy that is starting to have a nice positive start to training camp, and that's Kevin White. He has had that positive of training camps in the past. I think you've seen some positivity and some excitement about what he's doing, but it sounds like to me that this is maybe just a slight step ahead of where we've seen him in the past. Well, speaking of improving performance, I want to tell you about our friends over at Blue Chew. Blue Chew can help you increase your performance.
I had a dream I fucked your brains out right on that desk.
How different, without giving away specifics, are things in the run game with this new offense? Are angles different? Techniques with Harry?
Hypotenuse is still a hypotenuse, and inside zone is still inside zone. So until they change that, we'll be okay. That's the biggest angle on a triangle, guys. Hypotenuse.
Yeah, you must have been at the top of your fucking class.
I think the best thing for the Bears is if Kush beats him out, because Kush played very well in 2016 before getting hurt in 17. Let Daniels learn the position, let him spend time in the weight room, let him develop the kind of body you need to be an NFL offensive guard, because very much to Bob's point, I'm not disputing that he can be a Pro Bowl guard. I don't know. He's a very talented kid, but he doesn't look like it yet, and so I think they've got a lot of work to do with him.
It's undermined, and it's the kind of stuff I'm teaching my kids not to do. So I don't want to hear it again. End of subject.
Na na na. A Bears ballroom. They're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof. Even if the Bears win or lose. A Bears ballroom. They're the ones that fight for truth. Bears are alive or 100 proof. No matter if the Bears win or lose.
Yo, first, the smartest man, no tweets, he's ever missing. Impossible, the mission, calling out frauds with precision.
A Bears 100 proof, these days is number one, Adora. Slaying dumb tweets, cross-eyed like Katora.
Never one to back down, to call a fraud a lemon.
Wazram, no doubt, Miller's asterisk ending.
Cheers, Bears fans.
The fire Puerto Rican barkeeper for Chicagoland.
He's the godfather, the one, the real producer. Always keeping the show together with the voice that will seduce us.
Skin out of Firefox, the old timer never stops. IPA drafts, malts, crafts, barkeep takes a shot.
No denial.
Barflies appreciated worldwide. Canada, Scotland, England, Brazil, Mexico, and Dubai. Dr. Phil is the guy, the one to realize that the fire room needed a show more than the shoot supply.
Gone big coat for the narrative on color brought the Jaces of Gepay for Mitchell. Now I'm the Ashok.
Enough for the truth. You know your boy's a little guy. These media heads won't give us credits up to the bar flies. Flies. Flies, flies. Fuck a fraud in his keyboard, Twitter, tough guys surround us. Raining truth on the Bears worldwide, bar flies us down.
This is the number one pod, that's the reality of the truth.
And if you don't know us by now,
Bears 100 proof.
A Bears ballroom, they're the ones that fight for truth.
You guys were able to get out there and have a series of live short yardage goal line, I thought was great. Always coming back from a day off like they had, it's usually a little sluggish, so we as coaches were a little prepared for that. But I thought the guys handled it well. When you have that extra day from the install, you tend to forget a little bit of what the details are of the plays. But for the most part, they tried. They did well with it. And I thought the offense did really well in the live short yardage goal line. And then I thought the defense came out on 7-on-7, got some turnovers, some interceptions, along with the team period. And so it's a positive for both groups. Mitch had a couple interceptions today. The best part about that was the next play, he came back with a completion. So we're growing in that process. He's testing the waters along with the other quarterbacks.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears 100 Proof. That was Bears head coach Matt
Nagy evaluating the practice from Thursday, July 26. And while things are certainly not perfect, the coach sounds optimistic about the team's progress in all three phases. My name is Aldo Gandia, and it is my fault our show was delayed a couple of days as I was under the weather, but I'm back behind the bar serving the drinks, and don't you worry, the stars of this nightclub act are here, and they are, of course, Shane, the smartest man in the barroom, Marcel, and Draft Dr. Philotoshin. And you know Beers Girl is here in the best seat of the house as she's scouring the internet for breaking news and Lord knows what else. I think we've got our usual features ready for action and maybe a surprise. I don't know exactly what's going on because I've been sick, but we know this. We've got some smart football talk ahead of us, a few laughs, and we're bound to piss someone off. Fellas, how are you doing? Starting with you, Shane.
Doing pretty good. Just started the coffee pot because I got to leave for work in about 32 minutes as we record here tonight. So, you know, just start my day a little bit earlier for you Bears fans out there. But, yeah, it's all good.
Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. The pads are on. People are hitting. Adrian Amos, I mean, just talk about setting the tone as we're talking about him on Bears Hour Live. The very next practice, Amos goes out there and fucking absolutely patents his presence. And that gets me fired up for football because, let's face it, so far in camp, they're like playing two-hand touch. But to see today them going live, credit our Monday's guest for giving us, again, some great footage. And also Ryan Heckman and Zeke, Barflies represent, giving people across the world a little peek into training camp. And it just continues to get me excited, Aldo. I couldn't wait to get on this show. I know we got big things coming, and that stuff got me excited as well, but I'm ready to do 100 Proof. I've been getting so many DMs. When the fuck is 100 Proof coming? Shane's like, I don't want to do it.
I'm so fucking excited. I need another new show.
So we are back. And it's fucking football season. Fucking soccer and AJ went out the fucking window. And we are back to talking Bears football. I'm excited, man. We got a lot to get into.
We do have a lot. And we had a lot prior to the beginning of our recording session. We had a team meeting with all the principals here. And we've got some exciting news that we're going to announce next week, and we've got an exciting season ahead. And what was best about that team meeting is that Bears Girl led the meeting, and she was a ball buster, man. She kept us in line.
Ball washer.
No.
The Canadian Vixen.
I've been with you guys almost a year now. There is no ball washing here.
Wait, when's the anniversary of your homecoming?
Well, I think we've got to define when I actually officially joined, because I didn't officially join as on air until January, I think it was, when Aldo got sick. But I joined as VP International Relations at some point. I think it was end of October, beginning of November.
I hated BG almost a full year ago.
I know, exactly. Exactly. So Shane is brewing coffee. I just put on my Bears pajamas, and we're going to do a Twilight Hour. Yeah, we're going to do an overnight 100 Proof.
The late night schmooze.
Well, we've got some
pillow talk with Air Jam.
And I'm saying goodnight.
Exactly. I love that idea. A pillow talk show with Air Girl.
We are losing listeners by the minute.
All right, let's talk some football. We're going to try to make this a short show just because this week has been wacky, and I just found out that Trey is unable to get to us. We just ran late with our meeting, which is going to pay off for all of our listeners in the very near future. But this show might be impacted by the at the very least the length. You're still going to get the great football analysis that we always provide for you. And so what I want to do is begin with talking about the Roquan Smith situation. He is still not signed as of Thursday night, 11:06 Eastern Time, 10:06 Central. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, there's an announcement about the signing. This is what Coach Matt Nagy said when he was asked about that by reporters just hours ago.
The good thing is being able to be there for the OTAs. He knows what he has, so he's able to be at home right now and going through his assignments. But it's totally different when you do that versus out here getting the live reps, and he knows that. He's aware of that. Again, Ryan said it before, it's part of the process. But at the same time, too, you know, you are missing out on those reps that these other guys are getting, so it's important.
Shane, he sounds a little bit more concerned than he did a couple of days ago when he was asked that. Say, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's part of the process. But now he's bringing up that the fact that he is missing some valuable reps.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, it you talk about the process, and this is a big poker game, unfortunately. And then you see Nagy and Pace playing their cards now, trying to apply a little bit more pressure on CAA, the agency for Roquan Smith and Roquan himself. But it's, you know, we're all fans here and we all get hyped up and we want him here. And you look back, luckily this didn't happen last year with Mitch, because I mean, that would have been a whole different ball of wax when you're talking about a quarterback. At least with Roquan, it's the inside linebacker position, and it's something that he should be able to step right into fairly quickly and, you know, make the impact. He is going to be the quarterback of the defense, but you still have, I mean, with Trevathan being out also, but it does. It sucks. You want the Bears to head into this new season with, you know, no blemishes. And right now they kind of have that hanging over their head. I'm not to the point where I'm worrying, but, you know, every day that goes by, you know, you do get closer to that point. And, you know, you want him to get the contract that he's comfortable with and that the Bears are comfortable with. And they're just probably arguing over semantics at this point, but it you know, it's that first contract and they want to get it right. But I understand the you know, the intensity that Bears fans are you know, refreshing their Twitter timelines to see. I find myself doing it. I do a search for Roquan Smith for the latest news just to see, you know, I know there was some fake reports that he had signed, and everybody's kind of sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for it to happen. But I would say here probably in the next 24 to 48 hours, I think we hear something definitive.
Well, Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune had an article out earlier that said offset language is not standing between the Bears and Smith at this point, and everyone seems to be speculating as to what the issue is and why he hasn't signed his contract, and there's a range of hypothetical scenarios, and I made my open plea on Twitter to the Bears to get this deal done so I can see this kid next weekend when I'm at camp.
Yeah, I want to see him there. I'm going to be there with you, Bears girl. Phil, what are your concerns about this early camp period that he's missing? Is it how big of a deal is it that he's missed the first week?
I think it's a big deal because you're a rookie in the NFL, and as Shane said and really took from my brain, that you're the quarterback of the defense. Danny Trevathan's not out there. New head coach, different vibe with the Chicago Bears, not only within Chicago, but nationally. This, to me, once Baker Mayfield signed and then Allen, the quarterbacks, to have him not in camp is completely childish on everyone's part. This should be a layup in regards to you're a linebacker, you're in slotted position. If Rich Campbell's correct that it's not offset language, and they're, this is dumb. I'll be the first, I'll tell you straight up, this is absolutely hindering the political view of the kid from the meatball fan. Shane, you could say whatever it is you want, but in a city that doesn't like, doesn't appreciate nice things, this doesn't bode well in regards to the shiny draft pick. You know how good the kid is now. Is it going to hinder him, the player, if he comes next week? No, I just think from not only a PR standpoint, but from the fan base, this looks ignorant in regards to him. It doesn't look bad on the Bears, especially, I didn't hear that Nagy quote. I saw someone quote Nagy, and I don't know if that was later after he said this, and the tone was completely different to me. It was almost like, and I'm paraphrasing Nagy, say, I think something good is going to happen real soon. So the tone of the quote heard in the open versus what I read are leaving me befuddled that what exactly, and then they throw the Rich Campbell caveat in there, and you're baffled, because I think based on all of the hurdles, the slotting, the surrounding talent, and then you add the fact that they're quarterbacks, it should be very easy to get this deal done. And the fact that now you're going into Friday and you don't know if the kid's signing and all this other, it's just you don't need distractions as a new head coach and a new team. And it's upsetting me from that end. From the football end, I don't think, Aldo, this is going to set him back or make things, you know, like a quarterback, as Shane was alluding to, then yes. Yes, I think that would. Running back, I think, would set that person back because other players in the position. But I think when you look at Trevathan being out, Kwiatkowski, and then there's a bunch of, you know, bunch of just guys. You know, you could say what you want about Timu, but this guy's legit. And you're trying to build something in an ascending defense. Him not being there tomorrow is extremely, you know, childish on the agency, in my opinion. What other possible deal can you get better unless you're just being an asshole? Let's just be perfectly honest.
This agent, CAA, apparently has a kind of a reputation for recently, Joey Bosa was
all of them, weren't they, in this top, Aldo?
Yeah, all of the holdouts in the top 10 were all from CAA. Awesome.
So you're talking, this is not a Bears thing, and I'll be the first one to bash them. This is, it's so fucking childish by the agents. It really is. There's no way, Aldo, the kid Ward from Cleveland is signed, Baker Mayfield, the first overall, is signed, Allen behind you is signed, excuse me, in front of you, and McGlinchey behind you is signed.
Yeah,
that's, and you're sitting there acting like you fucking, what do you fucking want? If it wasn't offsetting, it's just disgusting, to be honest. Like, this defensive reputation, I don't know what it is with this agency, but come on, this should not be this long.
Yeah, I hate it when players go to these big agencies, you know, they're mm-hmm. run by these conglomerates, and it's much better for teams to deal with agents, single agents. Guys have personalities that develop relationships with teams and so forth. This CAA stuff, Raquan, I think, may have made a mistake and going for them, but who knows what the fuck. And it's frustrating because they don't tell us anything. They don't give us the truth right. about it, you know, and we care so damn much about it. Maybe we shouldn't care, but we do. We want this guy in camp. We want Danny Trevathan's hamstring to heal. We want to see both of those linebackers practicing with one another, learning from one another, teaching one another, and shit, man. You're right, Phil. It gets us pissed off. Fuck. Now, the good news is...
I got...
breaking news.
I just found an article... Oh, yeah, we're not going to do breaking news tonight. We don't have time for that shit. I just had an article from Mike Florio over at Football Talk, NBC Sports, and he is speculating, this was just a couple of hours ago, on what he thinks is happening with the Smith deal, and he's theorizing that the reason this is being delayed is because of the new rules that came into the league with regards to tackles. So he believes, a quote from this article is, Smith plays linebacker. Linebackers make tackles. The helmets they wear may be involved in the tackling process. If the helmet strikes the player, the linebacker is trying to tackle, the player may be fined, flagged, ejected, or suspended. And if Smith is suspended for a violation of either of the two new helmet rules, yes, there are two, his guarantees would go away, making it easier for the Bears to dump him if they don't have to continue to play, sorry, to pay him.
Thoughts on that, guys? Jesus Christ, that's a fucking joke. I mean, you're talking about something that may never come to fruition.
Right.
And this kid's losing valuable time in camp because of that. I mean, he, you know, Jesus, if that's what it is, that's bullshit on the agency's part. That's bullshit on the Chicago Bears part, really, that you can't work that out. And I mean, let's not forget, this kid was drafted back in April. I know nobody wants to be the first one to sign, but that's a lot of, you know, they say deals don't get done until deals need to be made. But this has been since the end of April, and it's the only good thing that's going to come from this, like Phil said, is this kid signed. You know, the Bears seem to do a lot of business at 2 and 3 a.m. and release it to the national media at 4 o'clock. You know, Allen Robinson, his signing was announced at like 3 a.m. So maybe we hear something tonight, and, you know, if he's playing.
No, they might still be recording.
Let's stay up and wait for it.
But as soon as he signs and laces him up for that first game, it's not going to be anything that we talk about. But each day that he stays out, I don't think it's going to affect him whatsoever with his play on the field. The thing that I worry about is injuries. You see these guys that hold out, and they, in true Bear fashion, you know, they'll pull a hammy or high ankle sprain or anything like that. And that's what you definitely want to avoid.
You also have Iggy Abunawe, who's been injured too, and he's missing opportunities based on injury.
Absolutely.
And you got, you know, this rookie first-round pick, leader of the, you know, the New Age Bears, ascending top 10 defense. It's way too overboard now. This has got to stop.
And Aldo hasn't even mentioned that Quentin Nelson signed a long time ago. So if we would have got that card, we wouldn't have to worry about this.
And he's already got his gold jacket, so it's all good.
You know, part of the issue is that the players' union that just does a terrible job of representing these players. You got in baseball, the Chicago Cubs signed a pitcher named Yu Darvish for $100 million plus contract. The guy has I think pitched 2 or 3 games, and if the guy never pitches a game, he's going to walk away with all of that money. And football, these guys are crashing into one another, and they don't have fully guaranteed contracts. It's just ridiculous. It started with Gene Upshaw.
Ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
Where's the drop?
I know, he's not ready.
I'm off my game.
I'm making a t-shirt.
He's been sick. We had sound issues. We had Skype issues.
Oh, man, it's been bad.
What was that song, BT? I don't know if they sang it in Canada. What? When you're da-da-da-da, soupy, and you're going to go to poopy diarrhea. Remember that song?
That was me.
No.
Yeah, I remember.
It's ridiculous.
It's Shane's laugh.
No.
Yeah.
Is that the next 100 proof hit?
It might be. I might have to make an Aldo poopy song.
Now, one of the things that I was worried about was the fact that we don't have Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan in the middle. But one of the good things that's been happening in camp, at least for the defense, is that they're really focused on turning the ball over, and we're seeing some results. Matt Nagy talked about that today.
Yeah, the takeaways are big, I was just in a defensive meeting the other day, and Vic and Coach Donatel were in there going through the takeaways and how we go about getting them and how important it is and how it changes the game and the technique of how you get the ball out. And so that's an emphasis. It's a game changer when you get that, when you get the ball from the offense and vice versa offensively. We got to preach ball security, how important it is to not have turnovers, ball security with the ball high and tight when you're running the football. So it'll be a challenge for them when they get in the preseason to see how well they do with it.
I love the fact, I hate the fact that they're getting turnovers off of Trubisky, but I love the fact that they're focused on it, and this new coaching staff is making an emphasis on, you know, stripping the ball and so forth. And apparently, from what I heard, the reports today on Thursday's practice, Amukamara had a really good practice. And then we talked about Tolliver's interceptions a few days ago. It seems like almost every day I'm hearing something really good about a particular special or a defensive back turning the ball over. You guys been hearing the same thing?
Yeah, I've heard it. And just to kind of touch on what you said about Trubisky, although the thing about none of this counts. This is where you want him to throw those interceptions. You want him to push the envelope. You want him to test the boundaries of these new wide receivers. All right, I'm going to try to force this in here. I want to see if he can get there. I'm going to test this out. And like you said, at the same time, it's a fantastic sign for our defense that they are getting their hands on these balls. But every pass Mitch is learning from, and I've seen a bunch of people freaking out about interceptions and it seems like he's got a high number of them in these practices. What was it, 3-4 years ago with Jay, this is his seventh consecutive practice and he hasn't thrown an interception. Well, what the fuck did that do for us? Didn't really do anything for us. Mm-hmm. It means nothing. You want this guy. Let's not forget, he still only started 12 of these games. He's got a whole new cast around him. He's got a whole new coaching staff around him. You want him to work the kinks out. I don't want my quarterback going in there and being limited and timid in practice. I want him forcing the issue. I want him to try to fit the ball into that window. That's where he's going to learn. You don't want him learning it in Lambeau, on opening night. We don't want that there. Get it out of the system now. You throw 3 or 4 interceptions in a practice, it's I don't think it's good or bad. You just want, you want him to be productive in that practice. And the most important thing that Nagy said was after that, he threw an interception. He bounced back on the very next pass and hit a player in stride and made a great play. So that's what you want to see. Let's not focus on practice interceptions. I was melting down because Cody Parkey missed 4 field goals in practice the other day, but then it came out the next day that it was a 59-yarder, a 61-yarder, a 62-yarder. So there's, you got to have a little bit of context.
Not good from 60, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, just to piggyback off him, I think it's very important what Shane said. As a coach, you want to try to make the defenders defend the football. At the same time, what does a human being learn from? Their mistakes. Right. So the opportunity to make them is in practice. Mm-hmm. As Shane's taught, I want you to realize the rhythm of your pass and force it, because you might have been sacked had you not thrown it. So maybe that next time you're going to learn to take off and run instead of throwing that pass based on the timing of your drop. So you'll see in these practices, sometimes, they're on 7-on-7 and they're extending the play for another, it's 4 seconds has gone by. That ain't realistic. And then he throws it down the field. So the coaches also will coach, listen, throw it no matter what. And maybe he's not. He's going to take off and run. Again, this is in practice. So it's like when the reporters, like I said on Monday, start writing about almost interceptions or a bad throw, they don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Mitch could be asked by the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, listen, I want you to challenge the defensive back. And if you get a pick, so what? It doesn't matter in practice. So Shane's 100% right. That's exactly what an aggressive play caller does, because the only way to learn ball placement, anticipation with players that you're gaining a relationship with is by throwing the football to the spot where you intend them to be. So the communication becomes second nature. The relationship from receiver, tight end, or quarterback and running back becomes second nature. So in practice, people are DMing me. I'm not worried whatsoever about Mitch's deep ball, some of the interceptions. I see everything I want to see in a passer, because when it's thought about in football game terms, scripted, and it's schemed to call a play versus coverage. I mean, today you saw, thanks to Greg and Ryan Heckman, one more example on the virtual blackboard here. The Bears did something I've been dying for them to do. They traded. And what is that? So they line up. Quarterback gets to the under center and he goes, E-80. Everybody gets up and they change direction. So they could have lined up and tied in with a wing and a receiver out wide. All of a sudden he yells A-80. He backs up at the shotgun. The running back comes back from the wing. The tight end moves to the other side and the receiver comes back in. You all can trade. You know how there's two men in motion and that's a penalty? Well, trading, everybody can move in unison, thus making the defense A, think, and showing Mitchell exactly what the coverage is, where the blitz is coming, and now you could scheme open. So all the practice interceptions and all the stuff that they're putting in and what they're showing and not showing, to me, you have to be excited, because football-wise, when you were football dumb last year in offensive play calling and formations and trading and doing things that can help your young quarterback, they're doing already. And it's the, fifth day of practice or sixth day of practice? So that should be exciting, because the best is yet to come from this young football player. The accuracy is there, Aldo. The anticipation. Again, I wouldn't be able to know this. I'd just be reading articles about how shitty he was, about how worried they are. He's had a bad day. I saw a good day. You know what I'm saying? So I'm seeing things NFL-wise that you want to see from a young player, and they're installing. They haven't even played a scrimmage yet. So it's so funny, the tides and how these guys write. To me, thank God for some of these barflies bringing the video to us, because I would be concerned by the way I'm reading these guys.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys.
We had a...
Guys, real quick. I've always been real aggressive with my ball placement, and it's really paid off in my sex life.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, AirJer.
There's our AirJer ad for Blue Chew. All right, guys. So I want to have you react to two players who were not on the field. Mark Grody at Mark Grody Sports was reporting that Matt Nagy believes both Danny Trevathan and Aaron Lynch are close to returning to the practice field. The theme, according to him, with these guys is that there is simply no rush to bring them back at this point, and they are both suffering from hamstring injuries, apparently.
Yeah, hammies are nothing to mess around with. I mean, now you have that extra week. I can understand them giving them the extra time. You know, just think about how far we've come with this. You asked John Fox that same question last year, and you knew that these guys were going to be out for another 6 weeks. Yeah, they're almost back.
You know, exactly. It's kind of refreshing. That's exactly.
It really is. I think of that every time they talk to Nagy about, you know, where is, you know, Kyle Long in terms of his rehab. you never thought he was giving you a line of bullshit. You know, he was upfront about it, and I have no problem with it. Makes it look a little bit worse with Roquan being unsigned and Trevathan being out and EA Booneyway having his shoulder dinged up, but it gives a guy that needs reps like Nick Kwiatkowski, and I mean that's only going to pay off for the Bears in the long run. Get him these; he's the man right now in the middle,
and it gives him a
you
shot.
You say every rep is important. That is exactly true for Nick Kwiatkowski too. So he seems to be stepping up and taking that next step a little bit. But let these guys get healthy, because at the end of the day, we want them healthy and on the field for Green Bay.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Let's not forget that there's an extra week of practice. So it's not like they're really behind schedule. Let's not panic, although I'm still pissed off.
Well, it depends on who you choose to read, because Chicago Tribune likes to use this to have some clickbait headlines, like, without Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, the Bears are left scrambling to plug holes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I just want Iggy back so we can play the Iggy Abunaway song.
No, I'm dying to play that. We got so much good stuff in store here that.
Here's a PSA. If you're not a fan of the music, feel free to fast forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Nice and played, BG.
That's what you.
No problem.
That's what podcasts do. I fucking
cram on that button every time Phil's music comes on.
It's probably so faded, right, on your screen. There's like a little section.
I got a little crack on my iPhone screen there from pounding that fucking go ahead 15 seconds.
But you never fast forward on this song.
Ladies and gentlemen, every week, every day, so many insiders, so many rumors that you have to wade through. There's one man with one eye man, you know him as
I gotta ask you, why your dancing was not included in the Luckin' For It video?
I know, that should that be edited is, in.
It should be in there, right?
I'm doing a reaction.
Yeah, I thought he was like imitating the choreograph.
Well, I recorded my screen, so we're all set.
Of course you did. And this is why I no longer go on camera with these kids.
Good call. I'm not at all ashamed of my dancing to that particular song. I love it. All right. I also wanted to play some audio that Ryan Nagy had about this running back, Ryan Nall. Now, frankly, prior to the signing of this kid, I didn't know much about him. So on our draft show, Phil was raving about him. And, boy, it does seem like Phil was correct that this guy, at least today, he looked really good in practice, particularly in goal line situations. This is what Coach Nagy said about the kid.
The nice thing with Ryan is he's versatile in the fact that he can run the ball, he can block, he can go out and run routes. He can do different things. And so being a rookie coming in here as an undrafted free agent, he's done really well. And we were excited to get the pads on him and see what he did. And you saw in the live periods that he was making plays. The defense
has been forced. Yeah, again, thanks to our barflies out there who were shooting video of today's practice, because I saw a clip of him running one in from the goal line formation. And the kid running with power. And he's going to be a guy to keep an eye on. When we're out there that weekend, we've got to look for Ryan and maybe even try to get him on the show. I bet he'd be a great interview.
I'm going to say one thing, Shane, before you cut me off again. He's gone first every time. I don't know if you know.
Because it's just one more thing. Just one more thing.
I got to say this, though. You know, in assessing this kid's ability coming out in the draft, a lot of people projected him because of his Caucasian persuasion to be a fullback. And we talked about this with Emery Hunt, also with Sigmund Bloom. Right. And my belief that this kid is the perfect complement to Jordan Howard. Yeah. And you look at a Benny Cunningham and what he does. I mean, he's hyped up to be a good third down blocker. But on the tape that I see, there's a lot of lackadaisical plays. Now, there are some good with Benny, but if you're saving money and you're looking at a young talent, I mean, it's evident in those runs today that Greg and Ryan Heckman put up, Greg Braggs Jr. This kid has an innate, instinctive ability to go along. Now, this kid's 242 pounds. Running like this, and he's in the secondary outrunning a corner who has the angle. I don't remember the number, who it could be a third string corner, and the typical meatball line. Those guys are going to be bagging groceries. The whole point of this is to assess the ability of the player. And let me tell you something about every guy out there has pride, heart, and talent. So when you're having a head coach that holds people and players accountable each and every play, what you put on tape is all you can go by. And what I saw in this kid is what Nagy's saying, the versatility. Because he can, yes, play fullback much better than what you got there. He also can give you snaps at tailback and short yardage situations. To have two of them on the football field and the creativity of this head coach, that this kid can catch the ball the way he does, away from his body, I just think this is definitely, Al, you're onto it. Great kid to talk to, as well as a great, I love the signing. I loved it more than Kevin Tolliver, which was my second favorite signing. I just thought that this kid would mix with what Nagy does, and we're seeing it. So how they use him is going to be interesting, and how they view that tight end fullback, and this kid could save a roster spot, Aldo, because Burton's a waste. We know that. I can't even fathom it. But I just wanted to say that in regards to undrafted, and we talked about it all offseason, me and Shane, every player matters. And when you have a coach that was an arena football player and an undrafted guy himself, and he went out of his way to say what he did, I think let's keep an eye on Ryan Nall and see how he does in scrimmages, because it's going to be exciting, to be honest. I see it.
I hope he does really well in special teams, because that's how he's going to earn his spot on the roster.
Yeah.
Shane,
hey, Aldo, real quick before we bounce off of him, Phil, you see Chris Cooley when we're talking about Ryan Nall?
Interesting. I could see him doing things like that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's much better athlete than Cooley.
No, I
runner. He's a natural runner.
Yeah, and
he can't do what you're saying. He's built like that.
Yeah, they're so, built
you know
very similarly.
He reminds me of Shane. He reminds me of the fucking kid I loved coming out of Harvard. Now he's with the 49ers.
Oh yeah, I know he's
the Polish kid. I can't pronounce it. Juszczyk.
Kyle Juszczyk. Yeah.
Using him in that vicinity, but also as a runner, because he is not just a fullback or H-back. When you have natural run instincts and you're 240-something pounds, and let's be honest, I think he clocked in at his pro day at 4.48 for that size.
That's moving.
Check his RAS from our Matt Bomb, and you'll see this kid tested out. I couldn't believe, with bottom of my heart, that he did not get drafted. In fact, I said it on that show. I asked, I think it was Bloom. I go, can you believe he didn't get drafted? He was like,
yeah.
I don't believe it. I no later than the fifth round on a guy like this.
Right.
So size, speed, Shane, is we need speed. This kid can catch and he can run and he can do these things.
Bears showed a lot of interest in him pre-draft. He was a guy that I had marked down for them, you know, when you're talking the sixth and seventh rounds, that I really looked at it like, because pace, has shown that penchant for these, you know, fourth and fifth round running backs and getting these later guys with a guy that provides that much versatility. It's just a huge benefit. And let's not forget Matt Nagy in this whole equation. He's not going to be afraid to play him because he's an undrafted rookie. If he shows out, I think it was Mike Brez I had this little back and forth with on Twitter about Nall.
And he was ridiculous.
Mike was more onto the Benny Cunningham train. You know, Cunningham has got the experience on him, but I said, you know, Mike, if Nall shows out, Nagy's going to play the guy. If he proves it that he can, you know, he can pick up blocks and that he can, you know, catch a wheel route, all that stuff, just, you know, get you a third and one, you know, goal line situations, provide that versatility, he's going to play, and he's going to play a lot. It's going to be on Nall to prove it.
Right, he's got to do it in the games.
And he's got a guy like that, it's huge that he's got five games rather than the four.
Exactly, exactly.
I got a tweet from the Bears that I know you all saw because it had the words we've been wanting to see for a while. Roster update, we have signed. And then we heard about the wide receivers, or as Phil likes to call them, the wife receivers. So the Bears signed wide receiver Malachi Jones and waived wide receiver Matt Fleming today.
Is it Malachi or Malachi? I've always said Malachi.
Malachi. That's what I said.
Malachi? I thought it was Malachi.
I thought it was Malachi, too.
It's probably Malachi. All I think is the children of the corn.
two very explosive players being swapped out for one another. That's for sure.
I was very interested in seeing Fleming.
Yeah.
You know, in these games where we have extra games, I wanted to see this kid. I think I mentioned it on one show. I was interested. So it's disappointing on one end, but like you said, this is a kid that was the Arena Football League Rookie of the Year. He's tall. He's explosive. So to get a player in here, I guess he had a tryout with some other guys, too. And, you know,
he's an Albany
boy. They had
boy.
This planned. Yeah. So, Shane, what do you think? I'm excited about this kid. I want to see what he does. Like, you talked about it with Nall. This coach, for the first time, as you said, about injuries, he's giving you updates truthfully. I really believe, you know, in the Pete Carroll way, finding the best players, no matter where they are, is so critical. You look at the Patriots. They do that. They don't give a fuck if they drafted a third rounder and he sucks, but the sixth rounder's busting his ass out there, he's going to play him. Yep. And that's what I've always died on the fucking cross of blue and orange, that you guys don't do this in Chicago when it's very easy to see this kid would help you. And they always politic it off and huffing and puffing, and we had the fucking worst coaches. Finally, I believe, again, in this situation, you know, a kid comes in here, shows so much fucking heart, that competition level for all the fucking blue chew Lauren Cox wants to give Kevin White, this kid comes in here and fucking pushes him. I mean, not to change the subject, but I don't want to fucking forget. I got to say this. Everything Anthony Miller's doing is what I would have expected Kevin White to be. So Anthony Miller, just in watching the clips these guys have given us, is fucking 20 times the receiver. It's not even close. You want to hype up Kevin White? Go ahead. And I'm going to fucking keep it 100. And I'm going to say this. This kid's a rookie, Anthony Miller. His fucking routes are crisp. His hands are confident and soft, and he is out there fucking saying, fuck you. I'm going to fucking catch every ball. That's the guy I want. That's what I want Kevin White to be. And I still see tense Kevin. I still see.
Yeah, no, I hear
I see
you.
The hype train going on, Kevin, but I'm never going to fucking sell you that. I don't see Anthony Miller, Kevin. You want Anthony. Kevin is getting his ass a fire under his ass right now, and that rookie, let me tell you, fucking Tucci could have fucking hated him. You better start fucking loving him now, because this kid, I'm telling you, I'm fucking excited. I didn't even think that he
did.
Oh my God.
Did you see that clip from camp where he turned Kyle Fuller inside out?
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
that is polished. That's,
yes.
Kyle Long is the best defender on the field right now.
Fuller.
Fuller. He looks fucking tremendous. People worrying about his payday. Remember that? If you pay him, the blog. I don't know if we should match this because what?
Actually, I don't think the blog knows that we even re-signed them.
Breaking news.
They're going to find out in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Update, 15
but
years.
But they talked to Moon Mullen. Somebody asked Moon Mullen who the biggest trash talker was on the Chicago Bears roster.
You're and he said it.
Yeah, and he's got strep throat.
Talking about Josh Bellamy, and he said, but he goes, we got a guy at number two that's just about ready to take over that mantle, and that's Anthony Miller. He's like, he doesn't care who he's talking to. He's not backing down to anybody. And I said, when's the last time that you had a young rookie, you know, just bursting with talent that's, you know, talking but also carrying it forward with his play on the field? When's the last time we had that in Chicago? I mean, you had a guy like David Terrell that loved to talk, but he couldn't translate it over onto the field. This kid, you're getting that complete package. That's why we put Tooch down in that cave to write that article about him, to wake him the fuck up when he was killing Miller. But
no, you're fucking, that trivia question should be a poll when this comes out, because you know what, Shane, I fucking can't think of anyone. Maybe Mike Brown when he came into the league with the Bears. But he wasn't even really.
Right.
I mean, he did talk, but it was in the intensity of the game. Like, he ain't fucking bagging down.
Right.
Olin Krutz, maybe? Olin Krutz would come to mind. Hey, yeah, that motherfucker's going to fucking talk. And he's going to tell you, and he's going to.
The cornerback DJ Moore was a guy that came up. Remember, he was small and he was a late round draft pick, I think, out of Wake Forest.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, he came up and he would talk a lot of smack, but this is a high draft pick, uber talented. He's gonna, you know, tell you about your mother to your face, and then he's gonna go out there and turn you around like he did Kyle Fuller. And don't think for 1 minute that Kyle Fuller isn't looking at that kid and saying, holy fuck, this kid's for real, you know?
Mm-hmm. And they're all saying it.
Yeah.
They're all fucking saying it.
And they're going to let him talk.
Every person in the stadium is saying it. It's very. Remember, we had Greg on Aldo Bears Hour Live with me and BG, and he said it. You know, it's wow.
Yeah, you just know.
Tariq Cohen, wow. Devin Hester, wow. But as Shane's putting. And I'll give it in my mother's, you know, Sunday. He's putting extra scoops in the Sunday because this fucking guy is playing with a chip on his shoulder while he's wowing you. So he's going to be doing it like, that's what I'm going to be here to do type of receiver. And you think of guys like Chad Johnson and Michael Irvin. And the kid, you know, as much as you fucking hate him, OBJ down in New York, that want the fucking ball. I respect that. I don't like all the antics and shit, and I don't think Miller's that. But I think Miller's the person on the football field that we have not had. Give me the fuck. Show me the ball. I want it, and I want it now. And you could drop in the fucking Willy Wonka chick right there if you want. I want it now, Daddy. Because this motherfucker, he wants that football.
I'll be right in, honey.
Oh, man. Really? Yeah.
No matter what, he'll get a laugh with the Air Jer impression. I can't take it.
I need another laugh, so here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Aldo spelled by fucking aw, oh, yeah, Rob, yeah.
He's the smartest man. He'll make you cry, make you laugh, bring perspective when there's fog. For 15 years, he's been the smartest man on the Bears, and he's never once read the Bears blog. He's the smartest man in the bar room.
Well done. We got to explain I mentioned the meeting that we were having. So I sent some T-shirt mock-ups because the swag shop is opening soon. I sent some T-shirt mock-ups to Shane and Phil and Bears Girl to take a look at. And apparently I got the oh, yeah, yeah wrong.
Probably the easiest T-shirt we have.
You know.
Got four words on it.
That's why I got your approval first.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see those. I didn't approve those.
All right, this is the part of the show where Shane Marsaw takes a look at the tweets of the week, and he shakes his head at one, and he says, no, you are bad. I'm going to highlight you on the show. And he takes a look at another and says, oh, I like this tweet. I am going to highlight it on Bears 100 Proof. And we always begin with the bad tweet of the week. Shane, take it away.
So, yeah, for the bad tweets, I think everybody saw the fervor that was created this week. Mr. Gaptooth himself, Eric Lambert. Oh, yes. At Bears camp was recycling information from people that were actually on the scene and trying to make it look like he was there. Well, he took offense to myself and a few other people calling him out, which it is, you know, it's a, you shouldn't have to do that. I mean, Eric knows better and he's trying to project something that he's not. Well, he sent out a tweet and it said, somebody asked him how come he didn't just take a picture and, you know, why he made it so cloak and dagger about if he was there or not. And he said, I went there as a fan because I was there to watch the action. I don't have to answer to people who clearly have a vendetta against me for one reason or another. You'll notice that I never am the one that is firing back with the shots. Why do I not fire back? Because that's what they want, and I don't have time for that. Well, then he followed it up a few minutes later with, I'm going to the Vernon Hills practice next month, and you can be sure that I'm going to post a pic of me there just to stick it to all the haters that were giving me grief, and then do exactly the same thing that I did this time around and not say a word, so... You know, Eric, I know we all give him grief and the sports mockery thing, but I honestly, just more so than anything, I found what he was doing to be really actually gross. You know, it was. We had Braggs was there doing all of his video and Zeke was there today, and these guys were taking time out of their day and making the trek there and recording things and tweeting things out for everybody's benefit. And then you got a guy like Eric Lambert that's probably sitting in his mother's basement, you know, regurgitating information from people. And it's just, it's a bad look for sports mockery. It's an especially bad look for Eric Lambert. And, you know, I just like to give a shout out to the people that are there that are investing the time and, you know, sending us all these videos and just kind of rain on the parade of Eric Lambert one more time, because it's, I don't have any use for stuff like that. And I know, Aldo, you and BG are going to camp, and if you're tweeting out stuff and then you see somebody recycling it, it's a gross look overall. And I thought that we should give him the shittiest tweets of the week award far and away just for his actions. I don't agree with him whatsoever, and it's not just because I don't like Eric Lambert as a person. It's more than that. I would, you know, if this was somebody else, I'd do the same thing. So Eric Lambert, you are the winner of the dumbest tweet of the week award.
What was that Twitter handle? I want to block him.
Eric was a regular guest on Phil's Daily Dose show back when we did that show. It seems like a great guy and so forth. And so I was surprised that that whole thing happened. And I actually sent him a DM saying, dude, you need to clear this up because it sounds like no one believes that you're there. And for good reason, you're not posting any pictures and stuff. So he went and tried to clear it up. But there was certainly still a lot of doubt.
Clearing it up was bullshit.
Yeah,
did you see what he said?
Aaron Lemming sent him a tweet and said, Eric, just clear it up and take a picture right now of you there, and then these guys will stop. And he said, well, strangely enough, by the time I realized that this was a thing, I was already back on the road and I couldn't take a picture of me at practice. So, you know, how convenient was that? And
well, there was one more thing where someone questioned. The one more thing was where someone questioned why they didn't see him with the media. And he said, oh, it's because I was in the stands. I wasn't on the sidelines, on the field with the media. And someone called him out on that and said, the media isn't on the sidelines. They're not allowed on the sidelines anymore. They have a reserved section now in the fucking stands. And he didn't respond to that. So if you're actually there, then wouldn't you see the media personalities sitting all together somewhere as opposed to standing on the sidelines? Like, come on. Right.
Yeah, and somebody else questioned him, and he said that the reason he didn't take any video is because he wanted to save the battery life on his phone. So
I understand that challenge.
Instead, he tweeted. Instead, he tweeted out all day long. But he did have one other tweet that he sent out, I believe it was yesterday, and he said, and I thought it was kind of funny. I mean, I know we go right after these guys, and these people that we consider frauds, they end up, you know, hanging themselves anyway. Well, Eric sent out another tweet. It said, I finally saw some clips of the Bears using Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen in the backfield together more often. It's shocking that it often led to productive plays. I expect to see a lot more of that. Well, you saw the clips because you weren't at practice to see it live, you dumbass. So you hung yourself right
another
there.
Another smoking gun. This kid's got two. Listen, I just wanted to talk.
Oops, sorry.
I just wanted to chime in because I do like Eric. You know,
I don't.
I know you don't. And it's fine. And there's a level of integrity that you have to have. Even for me, I said it on the show with Greg. Greg's there filming this. And I kind of feel weird to do a quote tweet to break down the game. But that's my thing. I feel it. I'm compelled because of the national scope and narrative of players like Jordan Howard can't catch. And there it is right there. And I'm going to break it down. And I feel weird about that. But to ultimately have that lying arrogance. I mean, we talk about it with Lemon. And we talk about it with some of these other frauds like the blog, the Danahy, and the other people we've had issues with. And we don't just dig up these issues, guys. We don't, those fucking juveniles that, no. There's real passion to somebody going there, as Shane said, to do the work, to do the time, to see these guys lie, whether it be on an article or if you're there at a practice. To me, it just is despicable, to be perfectly honest, and to not give credit
exactly to
those guys that are doing it. Like, that was my goal, you know, and Greg, having him on the fucking show, and what a great guy he is. I know Dan Walker was breaking my chops about my love for Greg and how he could talk. But I just love people that have passion, and I don't think they should be overlooked for your game. And that's my problem with Eric and the situation. If I'm a guy I like, I'm just disappointed that you would do that. And for me, I'm dead honest. If I was there and I had left and someone said that and I decided I was going to tweet out, well, just conveniently, as Shane said, I would fucking turn around.
You got
the level
right.
of pride that I have in my fucking heart yep. that I was fucking there. I would turn the fuck around. I would drive back there and take a picture with them to set the tone that I'm never lacking a moral quality or integrity. And to my people that follow me and trust me and you know, happy birthday to Shane and me and love this fucking show. Yeah. I don't care if I was 45 minutes away. I would do it. And that, unfortunately, that's not in his heart. But I just wanted to say that because it was a letdown for me, Eric. Because I'm sitting here arguing with one of my best friends about you. And you took it upon yourself. And Aldo, too, DMing him. That was class. I didn't even DM him. I was befuddled by it, embarrassed, to be honest.
Let the record show, if he hadn't blocked me last year, I would have DM'd him, too.
And there's another one off of the list for Shane.
Leading the league in blocks.
Well, we are all about receipts here. So next time, produce a receipt.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric should have, even if he's 45 minutes away from Bourbon A, he should have just pulled over and got a shot of some cornfields and said, listen, I left.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're all Chicago Bears fans. We all have cell phones. Nobody's going to camp and not popping a picture. Nobody.
No, absolutely. Who would go to the fucking, the Grand Canyon and come away empty-handed from a fucking pic?
That's true. I mean, I've taken pictures of fat girls that I fucked.
Jesus Christ. Can we move on to the good tweet now, please?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where the fatties at, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's a mailman. He was once bitten in the ass by a dog. If challenged, he's not a little bitch. He'll go on any show, unlike an orange pant-wearing blog. He's the smartest man.
That's good. All right, we're having a blast here. I told you we were going to upset some people at the beginning of the show.
This is what the show is about. Wow. Why do you fucking listen? It's a show about nothing.
Tonight when I got home from work, I fired up the treadmill and I turned on David Kaplan's show. I'm blanking on the name of it on Kaplan NBC
Company.
Sports Talk. No, the TV show. Sports Talk Live, and he was talking about the Chicago Bears and training camp, and he said, I talked to two people today. I talked to one on the phone, and I think he talked to one in person. One was Charles Davis, and the other one might have been Daniel Jeremiah, and both of them told Cap today that the best wide receiver in the draft didn't reside in Atlanta and didn't reside in Carolina, that he resided in Chicago and Anthony Miller. Well, David Haw had a rebuttal to it and said the only reason that those guys are saying that was because they knew you were from Chicago and blah, 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 blah.
Are you kidding?
Typical.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, typical David Haw fashion. Oh, well,
I wish we had the audio.
It was weird. So after I got done running, I was going around Twitter, and Phil Savage, at Phil Savage, he used to be the head of the Senior Bowl. He was the radio guy for Alabama, Crimson
He's
Tide.
He's on Sirius NFL radio.
Sirius XM all the time. He sent out a tweet, and it said, based on what I saw today at Chicago Bears camp, Memphis football wide receiver Anthony Miller is going to be an immediate contributor as a rookie. He's arguably the best player on the field this morning, super quick, sticky hands, and production usually adds up to NFL success. So that blew everything out of the water that David Haw was alluding to, that it just happened to be, you know, some guys talking to somebody from Chicago. Phil Savage was a GM in the league and is very well respected in the college ranks and in the NFL. And for him to say that out, you start, just like we were alluding to, you start to see this momentum building for a kid that's bursting with enthusiasm anyway. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, you get that tsunami wave going, and it can, you know, carry right over through the season. And he looks fantastic. You hope that he can continue with it, because it's only going to help Mitch. But I loved Phil Savage tweeting that out, and just it worked in concert, you know, exactly opposite of what David Haw was saying. So that's kind of why I picked that out. But I did want to refer to one more. Double it up a little bit.
Well, can I say one thing about Haw before you go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Aldo, I don't know how or what. Maybe it needs to be a song. Chicago can't have nice things.
Yeah.
You know, right there, to come up with a conspiracy theory that two guys, I respect Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis. I know Aldo could decide whether or not he wants to tell the story. I met Charles. He was a sweetheart, gave me all his time. We talked in the bathroom all the way to the set when I was in Radio City. That was the year we drafted Greg Olson, and me and Charles was the nicest guy. We talked Greg Olson, what it meant for the Bears, what a great pick this is. The whole night, gave me all the time, and we chatted back and forth about football. To think that these two gentlemen are going to go on a show and blow smoke up somebody's ass because they're from that city and put their reputations as football analysts. These aren't writers. Daniel Jeremiah, whether you agree with his assessment or not, is an analyst in my eyes. I respect his opinion. You know, in the room, you want people you don't agree with all the time, but this is a guy I trust. Same with Charles. Mm-hmm. So to say that is just such a fucking arrogant, whatever. David Haw is just a negative Nancy. He's just the absolute epitome of somebody who wants to create a story in the negative light. When Shane and I are talking about, we haven't had a player to exude this much confidence, and to top it off, to have the backing of talent since we can remember. So to take it down like that in the moment, I'm saying, Shane, is disgusting to me. And it goes back. They can't have nice things because of putting people like this in a position to sway the sheep. And it's unfortunate to me. And that will never happen on this show for me or Shane or anybody. I think that's such a negligent comment.
Well said. Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, so before Phil took over my segment, I was going to give you a second good tweet. It wasn't really it was tweeted out in different ways, but I'm going to give credit to the Chicago Sun-Times on this one. They were talking to Nagy about his pass rushers, and he made a quote that really stood out to me that I love to see. He said, "It's obviously great to have Sam," talking about Sam Acho. "He's a consistent guy that you know is going to get the job done." And then this is the part that really started to catch my eye. And he said, and one other guy that I want to point out is Kylie, talking about Kylie Fitz, is having a really good camp so far. He plays so hard, extremely hard. I have to sometimes remind him to make sure to stay away from the quarterback and the throwing motion. And he actually came up to me on Monday and he apologized to me for doing it. But he said, you can't fault the kid for trying to play hard, trying to get to the quarterback. So I just told him, when you get to the preseason, you do that as much as you want. So got to keep our eye on this kid, Kylie Fitz. This isn't a guy that got drafted low because he couldn't produce. He never had a problem producing. He had a problem staying injury free. That's the reason he dropped so much. But, you know, this is one of these guys that Ryan Pace kind of was trying to catch lightning in a bottle. And I know it's very, very early and it's hard to gauge anything from a pass rush in a training camp practice. But this is one guy that if I could tell Bears fans and even us here on the show to really sit down and watch this kid a week from tonight versus Baltimore in the Hall of Fame game, he's going to be right up at the top of my list for the guy to watch to see him get after the quarterback, because it's a glaring need on this roster. And if he shows any semblance of being able to get her to, you know, he's got that bend, he can get around the corner. And if he can bring down a couple of quarterbacks, it's going to make such a difference in this roster. So Kylie Fitz is a guy, like I said, that I'm going to have at the top of my list to watch next week. And when your head coach is giving you praise for being relentless, you hear Matt Nagy say, you know, be obsessive and, you know, all that stuff. You hear that, and Fitz is translating that over onto the field, and that's a great thing to see.
All right, we're going to move this show along. I'm going to do something a little different here, guys.
Shout-outs?
But before we do the shout-outs, I want to play something for you. You know, for the longest time, we've wanted to do a show where we all get drunk and just go on for 2 hours being drunk. Well, I decided to play around with the audio stuff that I got here to see what would that sound like.
I'm not a fast food guy, but if you order it fresh off the broiler, it is a great burger.
You tell me right now, if I get in my car and drive to Burger King right now, and be like, let me get my fucking, what you get, a Whopper with cheese? Can I get a Whopper with bacon,
whatever,
fresh off the board, and they gonna give me the best burger I ever had.
Best fast food burger. I'm gonna be like, it's gonna be upgraded. Bellamy's Rolls Royce croissants.
And what is his Versace sheets? His baby don't know nothing but
Trey's all fucked up.
He's wrapping Whoppers in Versace.
What the hell was that?
That was Phil's laugh, right?
Yeah, that was Phil's laugh.
I was just saying, man, I had a conversation with somebody. I said, this motherfucker, you
think he's Antonio Shane?
Brown he's coming or up. Something like how he acts on Instagram. You think
what's
he's
his
best
plan,
player?
Trey, after the
league? Maybe he comes... Maybe he comes for money or something. I don't know.
Can we get him on the
this show?
That's a good question. I'm like, hey, Bellamy, who wants you to come on the show and discuss how you drop every crucial pass?
How much is a Versace comforter, VG?
Let me look that up. Hold on.
Does he have... Is he married? Does he have a kid?
He has a kid, yeah. And a,
can
yeah.
we get him a Versace onesie, Shane?
Like,
with all the money we get paid here, no. Well, these are hideous. Versace sheets go, and it's just either the flat or the fitted goes between $395 and $725
Just the sheets?
Just a single sheet.
What's the thread count?
There he is, he woke up.
What's the thread count?
Thread count? Hold on.
20 million?
They're all... Gee, wow.
That's all that baby knows.
Can you yank that video from our DMs to BG?
No, I can't yank, the video from DMs, no. I'm good at yanking, but not from DMs, guys. And look at that! It's time for me to go to bed!
That was fucking awesome. We were all drunk. Aldo was on heroin when he came in.
I pictured myself like having my head on the bar stool and just, you know, all of a sudden like lifting my head up and what's the thread count and going back to sleep. Ah, that was a lot of fun. So maybe we don't do the drug show after listening to that.
You don't have to.
Oh, Lord. Trey sounds like he was really fucked up on that
stuff. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
It didn't even sound like him.
He sounded like a drunk white guy, didn't he?
Kind of, yeah.
The ultimate insult. All right. We're going to move to shout-outs with a little different music. A little Sopranos music that I use at the top of the show. We're going to start with Bears Girl doing shout-outs because she's going to wake up in about 4 hours, and then we'll go to Shane, and then, Phil and I will close the show out. All right, Bears Girl.
Yeah, you're not lying. It's 4.5 hours. I'll be up. So all my shout-outs are going to be for people celebrating birthdays this past week. So happy birthday to Crevant LeBlanc. His birthday was yesterday. And guess who else's birthday was yesterday? None other than our pal, Shane Marsoff. We also had a birthday today to and for Tariq Cohen. He turned 23 today. And we can't forget the birthday that happened on Saturday. Our very own draft Dr. Phil.
Nicely done.
Oh.
Nicely done. All right, Bears Girl, go to bed. We love you.
That's what she said.
It sounds like you say that every day.
Yeah, it's true. Shane, you got a shout out or two or three?
I actually do. I do. I want to shout out the three middle-aged overweight women that work at the DMV. That I was at 2 days ago that wasted 45 minutes of my time. Fucking bitches there.
Oh my God.
I had to go on and renew my license, and I standing in line, and she's like, all right, line up over here. Go get a picture. You got to get your picture. So, of course, I blinked on the first one. She's like, is this okay? And I said, no, my eyes are closed. Take it again. So she took it again, and she's like, oh, nope, that's not going to work either. You're too tall. I said, well, what the fuck does that even mean?
You're I'm too tall.
Yeah, too tall. And I'm like, what do you have to do? Get up on like a bench or something? Raise your camera? I don't, what do you want me to do? She's like, well, can you bend your knees and scooch down a little bit for me? So I'm sure I'm going to look like a Toshin family member scooching down in my new enhanced license. But they wasted 45 minutes of my time in the damn DMV because I had to change my
photo shoot.
Yeah, I had to change my address to our new place and go through everything, and they're fucking horrible in New York, DMV dealing with them. So I want to shout out those three fucking pigs that wasted my time that I hate. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
great.
Shane, I got some news for you. You're using the whole shout out thing wrong.
Yeah, I know. I know. So those are my shout outs.
Yeah, if you get a shout out from Shane, you don't want one.
Yeah, really. I thought BG was going to talk about thread counts and bacon, BG.
Ooh, not tonight.
Next week, Shane will be shouting out Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
Oh, God. Really?
All right, Phil, what do you got?
Oh, here we go. Another hour.
Oh, good job. Thanks for keeping it short, Phil. Good night, everybody.
I'd be remiss to not shout out our boy Greg Braggs Jr. for continuing to bring great video footage to the Bears fan and the Barfly worldwide. I also want to shout out his partner in crime today, Barfly's Meeting Up. You know, it takes a lot of brass balls. You know, we talk about Twitter tough guys and keyboard tough guys, but I mean, you put a video out there and you're shouting out Bears Bar Room or Shane or myself. I mean, Ryan shouted me out for calling out the blog and challenging, really Shane challenged him to come on and debate with me. And Ryan Heckman, I got to shout you out because a lot of people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. I mean, we talked about it with Lambert. You put your face to something and say something. That, to me, is the ultimate thing that you could do. And I was humbled by it. And like, how can I not shout that kind of passion out? I would be a fool if I didn't. It takes a lot of balls to do that, and I appreciated that. So I wanted to make sure I shouted out Ryan Heckman. And if you follow him, you know he's going to be at camp tomorrow too, as is Greg. They both assured me they're going down there. I want to shout out Zeke, who was there today, another Barfly. Went up to Kyle Long, had Kyle Long saying what up to the bar room. I got to tell Zeke tomorrow to tell him we got his song. It's coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing? And next week, Aldo, we're going to give him the song?
We definitely will do it next week. Absolutely.
There you go. So, Zeke, I know you'll be listening in the morning. First thing, let Kyle know, draft Dr. Phil and Bobby Phelan, who co-wrote it with me, is bringing his song next week to Bears 100 Proof. Keeping it 100, as he says. But last one, I want to shout out all the Barflies, everybody, as I said on Bears Hour Live, I'll reiterate it, for saying happy birthday to Shane and myself, and for the love you guys give us to make this happen. And for us, like we said at the top of the show, having a great freaking meeting with exciting things that you guys are going to benefit from. Really, things we dreamed about doing coming to fruition and you guys being a part of that. So, a shout out all you Barflies, and I really appreciate you all and everything you guys bring to the table. So, Gaines, Bearlissimo, Nelson, Zeke, all of you guys out there, thank you so much.
Very nicely done, sir. I think you covered mine. actually. You covered all of mine. So we're going to
leave. Oh, really? There.
Yeah, you knocked it out of the park. But you, as you always,
you're going to shout out my DMV ladies too, Aldo?
Bitches. all right,
you can
listen, everyone.
Shout out Monsters of the Tri-State.
Oh, we're going to meet up tomorrow.
Mots.
We're at, you're meeting up with them for that game in Buffalo, Phil?
No, I'm going, no, the I'm going to the Giants game.
Okay.
But I'm also going to check out, I've gotten approval from the wifey that I'm going no matter what to Scar's Bears barbecue that they have.
So
I'm going to go up there and meet up with a bunch of Mots, go to his barbecue, and I'll probably film some stuff, put it up.
When is that? Is that
get it going like that. That's in August. I don't know the exact date, but Scar's been shouting us out again. Aldo, I'm just going to reiterate at the end of the show, I fucking love people that aren't afraid to, when if something's good and you know it, you want to share it, share it. Why are you so afraid to call out a fraud or stand up for the truth? You don't like me, I'm going to laugh. That's fine. Let's laugh about it. But when it's truthful and there's validity in it and you feel it and you say it and it happens to be about the Bears barroom, I just, it sits very well with me. So I just kind of appreciate that people aren't afraid to shout out the product and the effort that Bears Girl, Aldo Gandia, Shane Marsall, and everyone involved in the barroom is doing. And it means something to us. So thank you, Scar and company.
Awesome. Hey, maybe I should give a shout out to my next door neighbor who... I got really sick this week. I had to fucking call the ambulance, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, should have led the show off with this.
I was just going to say, how is this closing the show?
So shout out to my neighbor who called family members to let them know that I was making a trip to the hospital because I fucking was vomiting and shitting all over myself like a 80-year-old man.
Wow, way to ring in 60, eh, Aldo?
Just like another Saturday.
Just like another Saturday night. So I mean, shout out to my neighbor. And remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.
With your Depends.
Yes.
Oh. So were you taking that? What's that pill for diarrhea?
Imodium.
Imodium.
Imodium. Was that your best friend?
Well, the doctor told me not to take it because she told
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah. When
oh, you
got to
clean it out, she's saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly. So let it flow, baby.
You
let it flow.
Clean it out. Let it.
Yeah.
What does Jared think about that?
I don't see anything fucking wrong with it. I shit all the time.
Dude, there's nothing worse, Aldo, than getting sick like that, and you're praying.
Like, oh, man.
That's my number one time I pray to God, is when I'm feeling like that, and I'm on the toilet, and I'm like, God, please, let this stop. I'll do anything. Anything you want, I will do it. But
when
please, the pain.
Hila's sound asleep right now, like most sane people, so I'll share this story. She'll never listen to this. She got food poisoning. Oh, wow. My God. She's not one to complain at all. I'm the biggest baby in the world when it comes to shit like that. Well, she got it, and
literally,
I went in to check on her, and she wasn't in the bedroom, and I saw the light on in the bathroom, and I could hear her. Not really crying, but she wasn't loving life anyway. And I'm walking in the bathroom, I'm like, babe, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm not. I don't have my pants on. And every time I puke, I've been shitting all over the floor. And she wasn't fucking lying, let me tell you what. She was puking and shitting. And in our old house, we have a fucking heat vent that's down in the, floor. Yeah. So it was fucking disgusting. Yeah. Oh so I'm like trying to drag her out to the garage to pressure wash her off because it was so fucking nasty. But yeah, so she knows the feeling out there. And actually, just I have to make sure she's never going to listen to this show ever.
Yeah, you better not.
Shit, God.
Because then me, you're dead.
Yeah, that's all. That's a real thing, though. You know,
both. Oh my God!
Yeah,
it is real.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Oh my God!
It's not a good feeling.
That's some real shit, as Shane said.
It sounds so fucking hot, though.
Did you guys ever see that Howard Stern show where some guy wanted a woman to vomit on her? On
yeah, the vomit. Yes. Yeah. I'm a vomit lover.
They have these fetishes. Yes.
What?
The shit lover. Yeah. Just take a dump on me.
Yeah, he lives in New York City.
Oh,
he'll like
that could
go
be a
out
terrible
to,
drop.
Right he'll go out to where the bars are, and he'll just wait out there for like the girls to come out when the bar closes, and they'll be puking all over the street, and he like gets off on it. It's all fucked up.
Oh, gosh.
Nasty.
All right, then.
He's Canadian. Right.
Perfect way to say goodnight, Bears Girl.
Yeah.
I have a sudden urge to vomit.
Yeah, Phil, stop talking. Stop talking.
That's all, folks.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for a great show and a great meeting. And we'll talk Monday.
By the way, we just went 4 hours.
I know.
That's amazing. This connection to be able to do that. I was thinking about it just now. I'm like, holy shit. We started.
No highlighters, no nothing.
No highlighters, no nothing.
All off the cut.
You know what? I will let you know. There was no fucking show flow on Monday because I got home at what time? Like 7:30? Mm-hmm. So it is possible.
We knew
no
that.
Highlighters.
Oh. We knew that, BG. We knew it was
I'm
possible.
Just saying.
They're catching up, BG.
It's never going to happen again. Never going to happen again. But it is possible.
Did you say catch up, BG?
Catch up. Not on a hot dog.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys. I'm out of here.
All righty.
Bye.
Love you, guys.
Love you,
great
too.
Great meeting. Super excited.
Shut the fuck up, bro.
Shane, I'm off tomorrow so I can keep you up.
Thanks.
Have a great night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Rich man and a poor man, I got the same wedding anniversary. Every year they meet on Madison Avenue when they're shopping for their wives. So the poor man says to the rich man, would you buy your wife this year? He says, I got her a huge diamond ring and a brand new Mercedes. Poor man says, what'd you get it both for? Rich man says, if you don't like the diamond ring, she can bring it back in the Mercedes and still be happy. Rich man says to the poor man, what'd you get your wife this year? He says, I got her a pair of slippers and a dildo. Rich man says, what'd you get her a pair of slippers and a dildo for? Poor man says, if she don't like the slippers, she can go fuck herself.